Hey, folks, this is Faith in Sport. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva. Thank you for joining us today, however, wherever, and whenever you're joining us. This is the show where we merge sport and virtue. So if you are an athlete, if you're a parent of an athlete, a grandparent of an athlete, you're an administrator, a referee, however you're involved in sport at any level, whether it's like junior, ankle biter football, little league, through the Olympics or professionals, this is the show for you, because one of the things that we do is we talk about sport through the lens of our Catholic faith, and in particular, we take a look at morality, ethics, and character as it relates to sport. Here's what we're going to do today. We're going to discuss all things sports, including our hit or miss, starting with Ed Billick. He's going to join us here in a minute. We're going to do weekend headlines. We're going to have a small break, and then we'll have more discussion on the current topics in sport. We'll do the quick Q&A with Dr. A, and somewhere in between there, we'll make you think. We might make you laugh, but more than anything, we'll get you to pay attention to sport for the next couple minutes. Joining me in the studio today, as he does just about once a month, this time every month, he is Ed Billick. Ed, welcome back to the show, brother.
John, always fun to be with you guys here in studio on Faith in Sport. And like always, we've got a ton to talk about.
We have a ton to talk about. And I think we have to prepare our guests, Ed, for one thing that you and I agree on just about everything. Would you agree with that?
No, not always.
No, come on. We agree on most stuff.
On basic things,
yeah,
basic values.
We mean basic things like, what, lasagna's good?
I'm sure we'll have a couple things during the show that we may...
Well, no, I think this in particular. I could see the look on your face as we were doing the prep, both on the phone earlier this week and right here in studio. We're talking about something, and I could see you looking at me a little, what? What are you talking about, Aquaviva? I don't necessarily agree with you on this.
I think we agree on purgatory. I sent you great articles in the Catholic News Herald a couple weeks ago. So,
well, folks, listen, you're listening to Carolina Catholic Radio. Are we going to talk? Do you want to talk about purgatory?
No, not today.
Oh, okay.
No.
I know. That's a pretty heavy subject.
There's probably quite a few people there we know. Well, at least they're there.
They have a chance. In fact, one of the things that we should do, not necessarily in these airways, but somewhere on Carolina Catholic Radio, we need to explain not only the non-Catholics, but the Catholics themselves, why and how it is scripture-based.
Oh, yeah, right? It absolutely
is. A lot of people don't know that purgatory is scripture-based. We don't get that. We don't get the agreement from all of our...
All Pittsburgh Pirate fans are in purgatory the rest of their... They're not going to hell, they ain't going to the World Series.
Brother,
either.
I think that purgatory is in quotes, but yes, I think.
There you go.
Very good. So listen, we have a whole bunch of stuff to talk about. We're going to talk about our hit or miss, and we're going to give a shout-out to the Charlotte Catholic boys soccer team. I'm going to talk about John Gruden and what he's going through in his lawsuit. And there's a high school runner, Ed, in the state of Michigan who got disqualified. And I even think he got suspended from school for using profanity. So we got to talk about that and see whether it's a hit or a miss or whatever the case is. And one thing I want to talk to you in detail is this Aaron Rodgers situation. Even though the story's about 2 weeks old now, we have not had the show and an opportunity, I should say, to talk about this. And I want to get your thoughts, because I think you have a lot of experience, not a lot of experience, but you've heard a lot about this story.
Well, I listened to the whole 45-minute interview, so I got the whole essence. I just didn't get the sound bites for clicks. Yeah. I got the whole essence of Aaron Rodgers.
Sure, we got tons to talk about, folks. Either way, thank you for joining us today. This is Faith in Sport. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva. My day job is I am a professor of sport. Of exercise physiology at Wingate University. Some people call it exercise science. They're interchangeable words, but that's just east of here, about 40 minutes, maybe 35 minutes. And every Monday or every once in a while on Mondays, we come on down here. Ed joins me for some of those every once in a while Mondays, and we talk about faith and sport. Is that a good wrap-up?
Absolutely. And I was asking you, finals are coming up already for your students. The semester goes
amazing,
fast.
Amazing, brother. We have, of course, this is Thanksgiving week break, right? So we have just today and tomorrow, and then we have next week, and that's it. And then we're done with the semester, and we have final exams. And get this. This is one of the reasons why I have the envy of most people who know me, and that is, this is the first time in years, or at least that I can remember, we have more than 4 weeks break.
What are you going to do? You got five little rugrats you're going to take care
of. I have five
of.
Little rugrats. I know. In fact, my wife is so happy that I'll be home for that time, because little Jack's 8 months old and he's crawling everywhere. He's getting into everything. I know.
Yeah.
Cute as can be. Jiminy crickets. He's so cute. But he gets into everything. And then, of course, the kids will be home for two of those weeks. So there's tons to do. But yeah, it's going to be neat, because I have a solid 2.5 weeks
Beautiful.
Before I even have to go back to school. So, but anyway, to answer your question directly, the honey-do list. Yeah. Right? You have that, right? Everybody has that. It's a bunch of stuff I want to get done in the house, and I'll get them all done. And the neat thing is, I'll probably get them all done within 24 hours. Yeah. I don't tell my wife that because the list looks really long, but if I wanted to, I think I could do it in one day. So listen, brother, let's get into our faith in sport thing. We always do a hit or miss, and folks, if you're just joining us or you're joining us for one of the first times, our hit and miss is something that is positive or negative anywhere within the world of sport, and it's just up to Ed and I, whoever the guest is, to talk about what is a good thing or a bad thing. We call it a hit or miss. Ed, as always, you go first, brother.
Yeah,
hit or miss.
I had an opportunity yesterday, and this is a hit. It's a big hit. Went to the Panthers game. They played the Washington football team.
Never heard of them. Are they the local soccer team?
No,
Little League
exactly.
soccer team?
They, right. they used to be known as the Washington Redskins. Okay, now you may have heard of them.
You mean the Charlotte football teams used to be known as the Washington Redskins?
You're confusing our
I know.
Listeners.
I really am.
You
sorry
need to
about
be
that.
Quiet about that.
Okay, brother, so yesterday was a football game.
So anyhow, Cam Newton comes back to town. Ron Rivera, a devout Catholic coach of the Washington team, comes back. It's a lot of fun.
Because he is the coach of the Washington team.
Football.
Yeah.
He used to be our Panthers coach. Yeah. A lot of people there. And the emotions were really cool.
They were?
Before all that celebratory kind of action, we had an invocation. In an NFL game, the Carolina Panthers welcome members of any faith to the invocation of their home games. The prayers must be, what's that, ecumenical?
Ecumenical.
Okay. And in nature, no longer in 30 seconds.
There you go.
And the pastor from whatever church, and it didn't matter to me, we were praising God.
Yep.
We were giving glory for a great day, and we're asking for the safety and health and well-being of all those participating.
Very good.
Your heads bowed, a little sign of the cross, nomine Patri, Filii, Spiritus Sanctus. Excellent. It was my hit because it was faith in sport.
In sport,
and
yeah.
It was emotionally charged. I thought it was pretty cool.
That is pretty cool, brother. And this is the first game for the Panthers that you've gone to, and how many?
Oh, it's been 2.5 years.
Got it. Yeah. And is it about this long? You go about every couple years?
Normally, we go two or three games a year.
Oh, is that right? You go that often?
There were no fans in the stands last year,
of course.
Right?
Yeah,
it really,
yeah.
Nothing was the same. But no, this was good. Hey, they lost the game, but it was fun being there.
Yeah, because God really doesn't care who wins. He just cares how we play, right?
Exactly.
Okay, let me, just going back to this invocation. So, yeah, I would imagine people either, they fill out a form and they get chosen to do this, and there's probably people of all walks of life, all faiths and so forth. And just to paint the picture a little more clearly, this is done before the national anthem.
Yep. And everyone stands.
Got it.
I mean, everyone was standing.
Is there a microphone on the field?
Yeah, the minister is on the field.
It.
Yep.
All right.
And there's a nice little prayer there.
Yeah, I like that. Mm-hmm. And the question is, this goes back as far as you can remember?
Always here in the Carolinas. And I don't recall when I was in San Antonio during other sporting events.
Yeah.
And maybe I did, but I wasn't as spiritual back then. You know, it was like, okay, we're praying for everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
But it was really cool. And you can submit. So my challenge to you, Dr. Akavir,
is
you could do the prayer before a game.
You know what? I have a feeling they would consider me, but not very strongly, because most likely they're going to choose ordained pastors, somebody that's a leader of some type of community here in the Charlotte area. Wouldn't you think?
No, I could say a few prayers to see if we can get you in there.
I like that. Say a prayer to see if I could say a prayer.
Yeah.
Very good. Folks, if you're just joining us, this is I'm Dr. John Akwaviva. This is Faith in Sport here on Carolina Catholic Radio. That other voice you hear is Ed Billick, radio veteran here, not only with Carolina Catholic Radio, but with WBT. What else you have for us, brother?
Well, I want to know what your hit or miss was. You always have a really good one.
Well, this one is, I'm particularly proud of this one. I'm always, always a little energized when most of my hits or misses have to do with on-field behavior. And this one is off-field behavior, so to speak. And it has to do with Carson Wentz. And just a little background here. There's so many people, especially athletes, that have means, right? They have a name, they have money to go with it, they have some type of spotlight, they have millions of followers on social media and so forth. But, you know, so few people of them use their funds and use their name for something that's truly good for their community or communities that they know of that need some type of assistance. And this particular quarterback, Carson Wentz, he used to quarterback the Philadelphia Eagles. In fact, he was the quarterback when they won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and he was hurt though, but he didn't play. It was who's the backup? I'm trying to think.
Jalen Hurts, was it? No,
not Hurts.
Oh yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah, the he's a strong Christian himself. How did we forget his name?
I don't know.
I was at your house for that. Remember?
Exactly. And then their offensive coordinator at the time was your buddy Frank. He's been on
Frank
our
Wright.
Show.
That's
he's
right.
been on Faith in Sport.
That's right. Now he's the head coach of Indianapolis Colts. And then when Carson Wentz was available, he picked him up. So he's the Carson Wentz is the starting quarterback for the Indianapolis Colts.
Yeah.
Anyway, he has created an organization called AO1. And what that stands for is Audience of One. He's referring to God is looking down upon us. And this is a mission-driven organization. And their mission statement is the following. I'm reading right from their website. Uplifting individuals and communities around the world by demonstrating God's love for his people. Now, how do we do that, right? A lot of people say that. But boy, this guy puts his name and his money behind this. And it's three-pronged. They have what's called Thy Kingdom Crumb, referring to a crumb from a sandwich or some food. And it's feeding people in communities that need to be fed. And the other one is an outdoor ministry in which they serve children with life-threatening illnesses and other life-altering medical situations. And their desire there is to bring those kids some type of activity that is you know, assisted by other people, just so they can kind of have normal outdoor living situations and have some fun. And the other one is particular to the country of Haiti. They call it the Haiti Sports Complex. It's a partnership to bring hope to a nation through sport. And this facility, which includes 18,000-plus square foot multipurpose building and a full-size turf soccer field, is to develop physical abilities. In other words, bring sport through these through equipment and through the field and so forth, and also help them grow in responsibility. So I love this three-prong effect. And this is, I mean, this is, I think, one of those stories that makes everybody feel good, because the one thing is there's a lot of people who have money and there's some people who have a name, but professional athletes like Carson Wentz, they have both, right? And they have this opportunity, and so few take advantage of that opportunity, because one of the things that they do, and remember, Watt did this. What's Watt's first name? Remember, we
not TJ, but our buddy down in he's with Arizona.
What's his first name?
JJ Watt.
Is it TJ Watt?
Well, TJ's with the Steelers, and his brother JJ, the older brother.
And remember, there was a in Texas, there was a huge
hurricane,
and he wanted to raise something like $100,000. And if they raised $100,000, then he would match it. And I think they end up getting well over $15 million.
Yeah, it was a ton of money. And you know what I like about Carson Wentz, the Colts quarterback? By the way, no disrespect to Nick Foles. We missed his name earlier. But that AO1, an audience of one. You know, when he was playing with Philadelphia, the fans are tough there. He plays for the man up above. He plays for God, an audience of one. So I like the name of that whole foundation he has. Yeah. That's beautiful.
And you know what's neat? And I think this is, you know, we could allow Frank to address this. But when Frank Reich, the reason we had him on this show, he's a man of faith. He's a man of God. And it's so obvious that both Nick Foles and Carson Wentz were men of faith as well. That must have made his situation in Philadelphia really neat.
Why they gave Carson a second chance in Indianapolis.
Right.
He's having a good year.
Yeah, yeah. And they're the team's having a pretty good year.
Yeah, they are.
So, yeah, very good stuff. So there you go, folks. Our hit and miss in the world of sport.
If you want a T-shirt, you can get one from Carson Wentz. She's selling T-shirts on that website, AO1.
There you go.
An audience of one. And people say, what's that all about? And it opens up the conversation.
Okay, that would be neat. But the T-shirt that you have on, even though I'm not a Pittsburgh Penguins fan, you have a neat T-shirt on. So now you know what I want for Christmas.
You want a Penguins T-shirt. I'll get you a T-shirt with AO1 on it.
So there's a couple things I want to talk to you about, brother, before we get to the break. But I think the big thing, and this is been the big thing in our culture, of course, the whole thing about the pandemic and about the mandate to get the shot and the vaccine and so forth. And it has to do with the great Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers, just a little background on this, he's the QB of the Green Bay Packers. And he had alluded to many people around him, and I think including the head coach and the administration of the Green Bay Packers, that he was indeed vaccinated. And I forgot the word that he used, but he had alluded to the fact that he was like taken care of somehow.
He was immune.
Is that what the term he used?
Well, he used another word, like I am, yeah, I can't get it because my immunity system is so strong. Immunization. Yeah, that's what word he used.
Okay.
Was so strong that I will not be able to get it. And that lies into the part of the problem. But you want me to talk this? I listened to the whole 45-minute interview.
Yeah, I want to hear from you on this because you have a lot more background on this. And I've certainly done a little bit of homework on this as well. But it was the bottom line was this. He didn't get vaccinated. He kind of alluded to the fact that he did. And one of the things that they asked of him was, if you're not vaccinated, first of all, there's going to be minor financial penalties if you do any of the following. If you're seen in a group of three or more, or more than three. But the big thing was, you're not to go in public anywhere. So yeah. Because you are a member of this professional football team, and in this case, the Green Bay Packers were like, listen, if you're not going to be vaccinated, you're not going to turn the arrow back at us and get us in trouble. So we ask that you stay out of public places. What did Aaron Rodgers say about this?
Well, he goes through, and it was on Pat McAfee's show. Be careful the foul language because it's on SiriusXM. But you can go and listen to the entire interview. You know, John, if you're talking to somebody for a while and you're with a lot of students, after a while you talk to people, you get to know the true inner feelings. It's not sound bites. It's not one or two, three-word answers, yeah. Couple sentences. So he goes on for 45 minutes with like four or five questions. And he said he was allergic to some component of the vaccine. He did his own research. He hired a lot of these doctors. He spent a lot of money taking care of his own health. And the one thing I loved about the interview, he goes, I'm responsible for my own health. No one else is. You know, whether Tom Brady can play till he's 60 years old, because he is working his own health, his diet, his nutrition, his sleep behaviors and all this. So I'm responsible for my own health. The problem I had with the whole thing is he was kind of a sly way of saying, I'm good. I'm immunized, how you say it?
Immunized.
And the Packers believed it, but they assumed that he got the shot, when in fact he didn't. And when he told him that, then they put him into the non-vaccinated profile, so he had to work out by himself. He couldn't go into saunas. He had to eat by himself. So he basically put himself in quarantine after this all came out. Was he truly, you know, John, if I tell you something and it's kind of a half-truth and you accept my half-truth, then okay. But I really didn't tell you the full truth.
Of course.
And nor did he tell the full truth. So I think that's where he is faulted. And he let others believe that he was, i.e. vaccinated, when in fact he wasn't.
Okay, so there's a couple things going on here, though. The one thing is, goes to one of your original statements, is that okay? He has dominion over his own body, right? And
right.
that's the way a lot of people feel about this. Is even if they get vaccinated, they believe, hey, you should be allowed to get vaccinated or not get vaccinated. Now, most people agree, as I do. You probably agree with this. Almost everybody agrees with this. If you're not going to get vaccinated, then you should follow different protocol, like
right.
weekly testing. There should be a quarantine if you're exposed or if you get it and so forth. And one of the things was he tested positive, right? So this was what brought the whole thing out.
You bet.
Right?
Yeah.
And the test was done not through his private doctor, I'm sure. It was done through the Green Bay Packers. And this is where they found out about this. And this is where the conflict lies, right? Because then it becomes somewhat political, right? Because folks on the left are, almost all of them are saying, at least as a group, they're saying, your responsibilities to the community, to the greater good, you need to get vaccinated, whether you agree with it or not, whether there's any physical issues that you're going to have with the vaccine, or even religious beliefs that you have that conflict with yeah. how the virus or the vaccine was created. Folks on the right are, as a group, are, even though they're not against the vaccine, they're like, nope, let's make this an individual choice on the people.
It's called freedom.
Yeah, and this is the extent of freedom. And I realize that this is a debatable topic. The issue with him, though, was, I think, in part, or at least maybe for the most part, was that he misled people. He had said to the organization, he had said to those around him, I have been immunized. And, of course, I think what
that's
that was
word.
Is...
That's the word.
There was certain protocols that he took with probably everything from zinc and vitamin C and maybe hydrochloroquine or whatever he was taking to keep the virus from, fully invading his body and for him passing it on and so forth. to maybe he had some experimental drug. In fact, he was never quite clear. But was he mad? It sounds like he was kind of mad in that interview you heard. He was
not? No, not at all.
Oh, okay.
Not at all. He was very calm, very quiet. He did throw some political zingers out there, which I think gets, you know, some of the people on both sides kind of out of control. He says, during Trump's era, this was okay. Then Biden becomes president. Now it's not okay. So he threw a couple zingers out there. He goes, I don't follow people on social media. I'm not doing this for just because of herd immunity or, you know, the crowd, the crazy crowd says get vaccinated. Go listen to the whole interview. You could surmise yourself, but I clearly believe he was misleading folks early on this, and he didn't tell the whole truth.
Got it. And I think the interview you're talking about came on the Pat McAfee show.
Pat McAfee, yeah. I was just talking about it. He's an ex-West Virginia guy, played in the NFL for a while.
Yeah, he's a big talking head for, they bring him on like
10 to 12 on SiriusXM.
Yeah, and he's also on ESPN. He makes some appearances on their morning game day show, for instance. But this is directly from Rogers in this interview. I think this was pulled from, and this is the way a lot of people think. Quote, I'm not some sort of anti-vax flat earther. I strongly believe in bodily autonomy and the ability to make choices for your body, not to have the acquiescence of some sort of woke culture or crazy individuals who say you have to do something. Yeah. So even though he might have been calm in saying that, there's some, you know, there's some thorns in what he's saying there.
To some people.
Yeah, to some people. But when I read that, it becomes a little bit of, it becomes a little political, right?
Because
he's
does.
Frustrated with the people on the left saying, this is what you have to do. And what he was saying, I'm being responsible. And of course, some people say he's not being responsible because that dude seems to be as social as anybody in professional sport. There was pictures of him, you know, yakking it up with some co-eds at some, you know, some local establishment. My guess is he probably does that regularly, and that's where I think people got frustrated. But more than anything, you and I were talking about this on the way here. This could be, this comes down to a legal issue, right? We live in this world of litigation, and the even the owner himself, let's say, of the Green Bay Packers could say, do what you want, dude, but if you're going to belong to this club, you need to get vaccinated because that's coming from above. And if you end up getting somebody that, you know, giving the vaccine or giving this
COVID to somebody
to somebody else, then we're going to be responsible because you in turn told us and you're a member of our organization. I get all that stuff. But still, I agree with him in that, you know, we should have some autonomy when it comes to what we put in our bodies, brother.
Yeah, to that point. He goes on and wins a Super Bowl for the Packers. Are they still going to be talking about this?
Well, that's just it. I think he was basically slapped on the wrist, right? People didn't.
Yeah, he didn't receive the fines that he should have received per other people. But, you know, it becomes more of a sideshow. I mean, the guy's got an ego. Let's admit it. I mean, he's hosted Jeopardy. He's doing all kind of stuff. Yeah. And all the antics over the offseason, he loves to get his name out there. So, hey, just on a personal question, you're a doctor of exercise science. Where do you stand on the vaccine? Should you be required?
No. I don't think anybody should be required. And the one thing that disturbs me a great deal on this is how some organizations, small and big, are not accepting the exemptions that people are putting forward. Some people have direct conflict physically of what's in the vaccine that can cause, including paralysis, right? You've heard of this.
I sure have.
Unfortunately, it's all too common. And there's a whole list of other things. But here's the big thing, brother. The big thing is, if you ask me, even bigger than that, or as big as that, is people have religious exemptions. And so many of these organizations I have heard of directly, people that I know have put in their exemptions at these organizations or these schools, whatever the case is, they're getting denied almost uniformly.
Yeah.
I don't get that.
Yeah.
All right. Well, listen, folks, we got more to come.
No clear answer on that one.
No, there's not. There's a couple of things I want to talk to you about after the break, though. There's this high school football player who was suspended because he refused to use gender pronouns. So I want to get to that, but I do want to talk about John Gruden as well, because I think that is a big issue that needs to be discussed and flushed out a little bit. But listen, folks, let's first do our weekend headlines. Here's what's going on in the world of sport. In the PGA, American Taylor Gooch gets the win in the RSM Classic in Seattle over the weekend. The tour's next stop is the Hero World Challenge in Oregon. In the NHL, the hottest team remains the local favorite, Carolina Hurricanes, whose record stands at an NHL best 14-2. And the Seattle Kraken are playing like a true expansion team, last in their division. Brother, speaking of that, one of the vivid memories that I have of you and I doing this show in 2018 was talking about the Las Vegas Knights. Because remember, they not only started off well, and then we were like, wow, look at this team. We're midway through the season. This team is still doing real well as an expansion team. They ended up going all the way to the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, and Marc-Andre Fleury in goal, ex-Pittsburgh Penguin. They had James, the real deal.
It may never happen again.
Another ex-Pittsburgh Penguin. Their coach was an ex on the Penguin staff. There was so much Pittsburghese with that team. So you opened Mike on here.
No.
What's with the Kraken, though?
No, I know. But the Seattle Kraken, of course, they're an expansion team. And I think a lot of people caught that if they follow hockey, that that's the way that expansion teams are supposed to play in all sports.
Absolutely.
They should be cellar dwellers. But instead, the Las Vegas Knights, they were in on that boat.
It's early yet, John.
It is early yet. That's true.
I hear your Red Wings are above 500.
Well, they were above 500.
Well, it's off and on.
No, they've actually played a little better than a lot of people expected. The fire's been lit a little bit.
There you go. That's one of your headlines.
Major League Baseball. Now that the World Series has been played, season awards are coming out, including Bryce Harper taking the NL MVP, and in unanimous fashion, Shohei Ohtani wins the AL MVP. Brother, you know one of the things about Bryce Harper winning this? This is just a side note. You know, it was back in, I think, July or August that he was directly hit in the face by a 96-mile-an-hour. And in that same season that he gets hit, he comes back, and he comes back and finishes out an MVP year. It's really impressive.
It's his second MVP. He won it with the Nationals back in 2015.
Yeah, no, he's terrific.
Winners remain winners.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. Like him or not, he's kind of a controversial guy, but that guy knows how to hit a baseball, and he's a great baseball player all around. And say football, folks, we'll end on this. One major upset to report that disrupts the college football playoff. Oregon gets thrashed by Utah. That was a shocker. It was 28. I was watching that game. I thought it was going to be the game of the weekend. It was 28-0 Utah at the half.
Jeez.
Anyway, Ohio State on the other side of the country embarrassed Michigan State, and those same Buckeyes and Michigan collide this weekend to see who plays for the Big Ten Championship. Lots of great college football still to come this weekend, including a bunch of rivalry games, including UVA at Virginia Tech, and NC State plays UNC, plus there's a whole list of them, Mississippi State, Auburn, Alabama. I think this is one of the great weekends in all of sport, brother.
Yeah, I was pretty excited just to see Pitt get by Virginia, although Kirby Puckett, you know, the Heisman Trophy candidate.
What's his name? Kenny Puckett.
Kenny.
Yeah,
Kirby Puckett. Oh, my gosh.
I thought you were kidding.
His name is Kenny Pickett.
Kenny Pickett.
Why was I thinking of Kirby Puckett?
Because he's a famous baseball player. He's an MVP of, you know, in his own right, great baseball player in the Hall of Fame, the whole thing.
We'll see what happens, Brent. Wires get a little crisscross once in a while.
There you go, folks. We're going to go to break here in a minute, but there you have it. Sports news that may or may not change your life. Listen, stick with us. We're going to have a little break. We're going to come back. Ed and I are going to continue chatting. And look up these stories in particular, folks. I want you to look up because we're only going to touch on it. But the John Gruden story and the fact that he's suing the NFL. And look up this kid that's in high school that got suspended from his football game for not using gender pronouns. All right, brother, take us into the music. Stay tuned. We'll do more Faith in Sport.
Carolina Catholic Radio needs volunteers. We're currently looking for help in local news, public relations, business development, and digital assets management. Please join us. For more information, contact us through our website at carolinacatholicradio.org.
Hello, my name is Ray Haywood, and I'm coming to you today to speak to you about the Fraternity of St. Joseph Men's Group, a men's group that was started under the leadership of Father Matthew Kahn by the intentional men of the parish of St. Thomas Aquinas, here in our Diocese of Charlotte, North Carolina. In our first efforts, we were asked if we would model our men's group in a way that other parishes could simply follow. With that intent in mind, we created the FSJJourneyman.com website. On that website, you can find all that is needed to create your own chapter of the Fraternity of St. Joseph Men's Group in your parish, as well as resource documents that we are intentionally placing into our faith community. We hope that you will step closer to the path and to each other in the just model of St. Joseph as you consider creating your own chapter of the Fraternity of St. Joseph Men's Group.
Teachers that care, professors that care about you. Just an awesome experience all around.
There's peace here. There's encouragement here.
Faculty, everybody that works here, they really set you up for success.
I don't think I have ever felt as loved and as supported and as encouraged as I have at the Abbey.
There's something here that's underlying and intrinsic. It's like a spirit of love and community. And I think the spirit is God's presence here.
Belmont Abbey College, a world away, but close to home. Visit us at belmontabbeycollege.edu.
To keep our Carolina Catholic Apostolate growing and thriving, it's up to all of us to spread the word. A great way to do this is to hold a Carolina Catholic weekend at your parish, or bring us in to do a live broadcast at a parish event this fall. We have had a wonderful response to these weekends at St. Mark, St. Therese, St. Michael, St. John Newman, and most recently at St. Thomas Aquinas. Carolina Catholic has many awesome plans for you across our six platforms this fall. In the weeks ahead, we will begin to share our plans as we secure your financial support to make them a reality. Please consider a one-time donation or monthly tithe today. Please go to the Donate tab on CarolinaCatholicRadio.org. Carolina Catholic is needed now more than ever to evangelize the truth of Jesus Christ and our Catholic faith to guide us in daily life. Thank you for your prayerful consideration to join us in our mission across the Carolinas. May God bless you abundantly.
All right, folks, there's that music again. It either means the end of the show, the start of the show, and end of a break, or coming into the break, and this is where we're coming back from a break. Folks, thank you for joining us. I'm Dr. John Acquaviva. You're listening to Carolina Catholic Radio. The show is Faith and Sport. Joining me in studio today is Ed Billick. Ed and I have done this for years now, and the great thing is Ed's turned his life in a few different directions, but still about once a month he joins me. And brother, I always appreciate this time. I think we have some of our best shows.
I appreciate you, John. I mean, this is a ministry. We do this because of our love of God and love of faith. You don't get paid for this. And you take your time out. We drive here on the north side of Charlotte where we're recording this show. And, you know, hats off to you. You do a wonderful job here.
I appreciate that, brother. So, folks, if you're just joining us, this is Faith in Sport, where we apply our faith to all aspects of sport. So whether you are belong directly in sport, like a referee, athlete, or an administrator, or you're on the sidelines and you're coaching, or you are a parent or a grandparent, this show is for you because we want to tie in character, ethics, and morality into our conversation of sport. And I think just about everything we talk about has to do with that. In fact, speaking of, in the break, you and I were talking about the Baseball Hall of Fame ballot. And there's some new names on there. You have to have been retired for 5 years. But the big news is not the new names, but it's the old names that are on there. What are we referring to?
The ballot was released on Monday of this week. And 30 players are on the ballot. Yep. You got to have, 75% to get in?
Yep.
So you still got, this is their 10th year, the last year of eligibility for Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens.
That's right.
And Curt Schilling.
Yeah.
And Curt last time had 71% of the vote, which was pretty close. And he's also got some issues. He doesn't want his name on a ballot. He thinks he was you know, looked over because of some of his political views. But Bonds and Clemens at 61 for Bonds and 61.6 for Clemens.
Last year.
So my question for our audience is, for 9 years, you've not gotten in. So what makes the year 10? Yeah. So, okay, now I'm going to change my mind. I don't think these guys are going to get in.
No, and folks, if you're not familiar with the situation, there's a lot of people who either admitted, were caught and denied, or just simply were never caught and never had to deny anything, but were highly suspect of using performance enhancement drugs. That they're called PEDs. In particular, the two main ones used by baseball players are anabolic steroids and growth hormone.
So you would know this. That's up your alley.
Yeah, no doubt. I teach all this stuff.
That's why you got muscular arms sitting in here.
But no, that's why? Because I understand how they work, or I understand how to get
them. You're working with them, all right? No, folks, no. I'm making a fun of it.
This is a great topic of conversation, because those guys are really far from getting the percentage of votes that they need. And I don't think they're going to get it. I think there's a small possibility, because as you asked during the break, you're like, are they going to suddenly jump from 60 and 61% respectively to the 75% needed? And the reason is because through waiting, the voters may have punished them. In other words, they waited till the 10th year and then they'll vote to bring these guys into the league. But both Bonds and Clemens are up. This is their final year to be elected through this committee. There's other veterans committee that can elect them in the future. But I still think that's a slight. Even if they get elected by those other committees or that other committee, it's still going to be a slight, because this is the standard and this is the method in which people want to get in.
So Barry Bonds is not on ESPN. He's not doing color commentary in baseball games. Roger Clemens is not out there working with kids and helping them learn how to pitch. He has no media presence at all.
None.
But a new name on the ballot this year is A-Rod.
Yeah.
Alex Rodriguez. Well, Big Poppy's getting on there too with Jimmy Rollins and Mark Teixeira. But the point being is, now, will A-Rod have a chance? Well, in fact, didn't he admit?
Yeah, he did admit to use. I think he may, because he does have a presence and he's tried to make a good name, giving back to the sport by being an ESPN commentator.
So that counts.
Well, I think that counts. I don't know if it counts for me. I think that counts for some people. And, of course, he was so statistically strong. But speaking of statistically strong, you could argue that Clemens was the best pitcher of all time and that Bonds was the greatest hitter. Let me ask you, as a Pittsburgh fan, because he played about what, 40% of his years with
Jimmy Leland and the boys there.
Do you have a soft spot for Bonds because of this?
No.
Because he played for the Pirates?
No.
No, seriously. No.
Look at his baseball card. From then to when he played with the Giants.
Yeah, it's like he's a skinny little kid.
Went from looking like Ed Billick to John Aquavina. To now Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, no, he is.
So there was something going on in that body. Clemens, I don't know. Boy, he was a great pitcher. I have an autographed baseball card of him.
But, you know, I'll say this, and we can leave it at this because we promised those other topics. But I think with both of them, one of the things that's going to keep him out, and maybe a big reason as any, is along with the suspected use or admitted use, is that neither one of them was all that well liked by other players when they were playing.
You just hit the nail on the head.
And that just says something, I think, to the voters. I think they just see that, and they're like, I'm not going to do it.
They're caustic.
We can continue this conversation, because the vote's going to come later on this year.
Yeah, January 22nd, folks.
And you know, this is one of the things that makes baseball special. I really believe this is the only one of all the sports, despite its lack of presence on social media and on sports radio, it just seems to be the Hall of Fame that people look to more than any other. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, and we can. I'm not going to open the door. Pete Rose.
Yeah.
Gambling now. Oh, but you put your bets in for Thanksgiving games? Call FanDuel or sports book or whatever? Come on. That's another topic for another time.
It is.
All right, you got some good stuff you want to
cover. Well, I do. Okay, this one has to do with former Raiders coach. In fact, he's a two-time Raiders coach. He's a one-time Tampa Bay Bucks coach, John Gruden. People probably know him as much as anything, because for the last several years, he's been a commentator and working with quarterbacks on ESPN. And John Gruden was recently fired by the NFL because emails were found.
By the Las Vegas Raiders. The NFL didn't fire
him. That's right. Oh, no, that's right. It was the NFL that found these and put the Raiders
pressure on.
Okay. Okay, so let's talk about a little of this. John Gruden, when he was the head coach of the Las Vegas Raiders, for years has been really good friends with Paul Allen, who is the president of operations for the Washington football team, the previous Redskins, and now they're good buds. And so they shared a lot of thoughts and comments and just friendship based and here's my feelings of the day and here's what's going on in the league and here's what's going on in culture. And there were many emails that went between the two of them, and some of the language that John Gruden in particular used was homophobic and or racist.
Yeah.
And he has in turn sued the NFL, and here's why.
And tell me how too.
Tell you how what?
How can you even sue him? Well, ahead, continue.
Okay, well, yeah, that's a different thing. So he just filed this suit, and quote, the complaint alleges that the defendant selectively leaked Gruden's private correspondence to the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times in order to harm Gruden's reputation and force him out of his job. There is no explanation or justification for why Gruden's emails were the only ones that were made public out of over 500,000 emails collected in the NFL's investigation of the Washington football team. Now, by the way, you know why they're investigating the Washington football team, right? Because there's all this misogynistic, sexist stuff that was going on with the Washington football team. And so they were going into those emails, and then as a result, they found these racist and homophobic messages that were meant to be private, that were coming from John Gruden. They weren't meant for the press. They weren't meant for anybody else. They were just meant for Paul Allen. They took those out, and then as a result, they leaked them, which, of course, as soon as you leak them to the Wall Street Journal and the New York Times, it's everywhere, and you're done, right? And so they fired him. It took a matter of minutes probably to fire him. And so a month later, he turned around and says, I'm suing you because how on earth did you go through over 500,000 emails and you just happened to get mine? And of course, they probably wanted to be the first one to the pile of money, so to speak. In other words, I think that the NFL was quite aware of his thoughts on these things, quite aware of his temperament on these things. And before it got out and they embarrassed the NFL, the NFL said, we're going to be proactive and we're going to fire you before you can do any damage to us. Mm-hmm. Of course, it still does damage to them, but ultimately the NFL looks like the good guy because they're like, we won't stand for this. Mm-hmm. Now, here's where I stand on this, brother. And now there's a spectrum here, so hang with me on this, and I'd love to hear your commentary. But there's a spectrum here. And yes, I understand you shouldn't say these things. I fully agree with that. They're harmful to our culture. They're harmful to our society. They're harmful to our relationships. To be racist, to be homophobic and misogynistic and so forth. But on the other end of that spectrum is privacy matters. If I send you a text, Ed, and I'm mad, I assume that it's going to stay between you and I, that you're not going to go. If I'm John Aquaviva, Carolina Catholic radio boy, Wingate University boy, I assume, Ed, that you're not going to take that because you're mad at me for whatever reason. I owe you $10 and you're like, I'll show Aquaviva for not paying me. I'm going to leak these texts he sent and leak them to the Wingate Times and to the Charlotte Observer. By the way, there is no Wingate Times, but you know what I mean. And then you do that just to get me in trouble. I would argue that there should at least be a conversation, Ed, where private thought should be protected. If it's truly meant for you and your texting machine or your email, if I truly and fully intend it to go just to you, I'm not sure that's fireable offense there, brother. Your thoughts?
Anything electronic.
Means?
Public information. Parents teach their children this. You're new to Facebook. Whatever you put out there can come back and haunt you 10 years from now and prevent you from getting a job. That is public information. Now, if I recorded a conversation that you and I were talking, that now we're starting to get
You think that's a little different.
I think it is.
I find that interesting.
Or you and I were talking, the mics weren't on and there was no documentation. But the thing is, whatever you say, you know, the old he said stuff before all the electronic media would get people in trouble, sure, because you're speaking from your heart, you're speaking about somebody else. Now, if you and I were arguing, you call me a name, I'm calling you a name, then there's no harm, no foul there. But whenever something erodes your character and it is put out there for anyone to see, Well, that's not how we know Jahan Alkalvi. That's not how we know Ed Billick. He's not that kind of guy. Oh, yeah? Let me show you what I got.
I get that part, but only to an extent. So let me go back, and I know this is maybe splitting hairs with your explanation of it, but if it's electronic, you're saying that is public information. So if it's a text or an email, but a phone conversation, isn't that an extension of electronics? Isn't that technology using me recording your voice? What if you were, just think about if you're just particularly mad at somebody or something, Ed, and you say something, you're like, I mean, that's why we have confession.
You're
Ed,
a younger
right?
guy than I am. You're more astute to this kind of technology. You know what Snapchat is?
Yes.
And describe that. So after I send you or you send me a message, it disappears forever.
Yeah, I get this. But what I mean is, I'm
why is that app so popular?
No, well, yeah, of course, it's incredibly popular. And it's popular for a lot of bad reasons.
Well,
and
bad,
reasons. Yeah.
Well, we're talking about bad stuff here.
No, of course, I agree. But I think to take it down a slightly different lane, okay. Here's the thing. I think that the NFL should not have grounds to fire him on this. Here's the thing, though. Once you leak this stuff, then they could, of course, fire him for cause. In other words, you went 8-8 this year. We gave you great draft picks over the last 5 years. You should be going at least 10-6. Therefore, you're gone. And I understand that they want to look like the good guy. They want to look like the moral guy. They want to look like the ethical guy. I understand all that. But I am on this spectrum. I am far leaning to the point of where I don't think you can fire people on personal messages, whether it's the phone, texting, or email. And here's my thinking, Ed. I think, at least with our audience, you would be in the minority. What do you think about that?
I signed a code of conduct when I was working for a corporation. I signed a code of conduct. I'm sure you've signed one, too. Go take a look at it. You are violating the code. Gruden's violating the code of conduct with
the NFL.
Yeah. And it all came out. Whether that was meant to be private or not, it doesn't really matter.
And you know what's interesting is I think even though they could use this as a – this is the First Amendment, right? They could – but that's not actually what their – I think the basis of their lawsuit is you took 650,000 emails – and you pulled out a couple of mine.
Yeah, so where's the rest of the stuff?
Yeah,
there? Exactly. No, I'm in agreement there. There's other dirt and other people being protected. I truly believe that. But what he represented, and I said this to you once before, what do you do when the lights are off? That's your character.
Yeah.
The lights were definitely off then. This is what he was saying.
No, there's no question that ultimately, you see, here's the thing. If the NFL finds out about this, they fire him. What his team is saying is you can't fire him based on these things. And that's what I'm saying. Ultimately, he would remove himself. He'd be, wouldn't you think that?
He's an embarrassment to himself and to the league.
Yeah,
or
so
to his team.
Yeah, to the whole thing. He would have lost his, talk about losing your locker room, right? The people would look at you and go, Coach, do you mean all this stuff? And of course, he would say, listen, guys, that was pulling out of context. But either way, there's an explanation.
You
but he
and
would
I
walk
know
away.
People have lost their job just because of insinuation without all this hard data.
Yeah.
It's tough stuff, John. It's tough. And I appreciate your point of view on the privacy matters. But that electronic tool that's out there now,
I'd
be careful.
A quote, and I'll leave it with this because this goes to where, and I appreciate you saying that. I really do. But a quote from his lawyer said, this is a Soviet-style character assassination. And that is interesting when they pull that out, right? And you just say, this is, we're going to pick on you here. That is, it does seem like it's unjust.
Yeah, so. There's got to be others involved. Maybe that's what the suit's going to bring out.
Exactly. All right, folks, let's switch gears here. But before we do that, you're listening to Carolina Catholic Radio. I'm Dr. John Acquaviva, joined in studio by Ed Billick. You're listening to Faith and Sport, where we look at sport through a Christian lens. So let's move on. And this is a story out of, let's see, this is a story about a high school freshman in the state of New Hampshire. He's a freshman, and he's happens to be a football player, and this has directly to do with this story. And the school suspended him for one game because he had violated its policy on gender identity and pronouns, which states that a student has the right to be identified by the name and the pronoun of their choice. And this student said the following, and this was on the bus. Right? He's just a freshman. He's on the bus and he's talking to his friends. And in particular, he said that he could not see how plural pronouns for an individual could be utilized by Spanish speakers when the language relies on masculine and feminine identifiers. I thought that's a great point, right? But a female student overheard the conversation and told this football player that there are more than two genders. And he says, no, there isn't. There's only two genders. And so they went back and forth. The conversation became contentious, and the student suing the school was suspended both for failing to recognize another student's gender pronouns and using inappropriate language in his texts. And of course, this is, if we didn't have so many issues in our culture, this would be a bigger issue. I really believe, because it comes down to this from my viewpoint, Ed. This does come down to God. This comes down to God's creation. This comes down to the book of Genesis and the Old Testament. And this comes down to direct quotes from our Lord that people are either a man or a woman. You're either your age or you're not. You can claim that you're not your age. You can do all kinds of things to claim that you're not your age. You can change your driver's license. You can get some cream to get rid of the wrinkles. You can get operations to make you look younger. But the fact is if you're 37, Ed, you can change all that other stuff. It doesn't change the fact that you're 37.
Thanks.
You like that analogy. So, oh yeah, you like the, oh, you're thanking me for calling you 37. Of course, I was just speaking, you know. So this is the take that I have. And of course, a lot of people have this take. In fact, I'm stealing somebody else's words here, several other people's words. You can't change your age. And it's just like somebody goes, I demand that you call me Aquaman or Wonder Woman. I'm like, if you insist, but there might be some psychological damage in your head for me to insist that you're a superhero when you are not, when you're Bill Smith, right? And that's the same thing with this. And he's just standing his ground. And as a result, they said, you didn't conform to our policy and you're suspended. Your initial thoughts to this?
Is this a public school?
I'm sure it is, yes.
Who created the rule? Where'd that ever come from? Did the parents vote on that?
My guess is the school board did,
No. And I'm almost saying, is this a real story? Come on. You know, if we looked, if you read this story to me 10 years earlier, I would say, well, where the heck, where'd this come from? Because it defies common sense.
That's right.
It defies what God has created. And the young man or young man is just standing his ground to what makes common sense. To me, it's an absurd situation. And we need to, just like the elections in Virginia.
What's that?
Well, why the Republican governor, new guy, got elected? Because Terry McAuliffe was going around saying, we in the schools will teach your children, yeah, not the parents.
Oh, yeah. That
when you start bullying the parents, here, this is bullying the parents. Where did you ever come up with something like this?
Yeah.
It makes no sense at all.
No, I agree. This is one of those lawsuits I think that is going to be followed, but there's so many of them. I think it's tough to follow all of them. But this is one of the ones that we not only hope, but let's pray that it's upheld, because this is – boy, talk about two different ways of thinking, right? Like, people can call themselves whatever they want, and then people on the other side are going, no, I'm not going to play that. This is a psychological issue you have.
Call yourself whatever you want to call, but I'm going to still refer to you as
he or she.
Yeah,
that's right.
It's pretty crazy. Pray for those people.
Yeah, absolutely. Pray for people on both sides, that the truth be known. That's the whole thing.
That's right.
Let the truth be known here. All right, folks, listen, we're getting ready to wind this thing up. This is time for the quick Q&A with Dr. A. So the question of the day is this, Ed. Why is it that sports radio and TV covers NBA action far more than Major League Baseball, despite the nearly identical fan base? So, for instance, football, when people are asked in surveys over the past few years, it's been consistent. America's favorite sport, 37% say football. But when it comes to basketball, 11%. And when it comes to baseball, 9%. Now, granted, it's 2% different, but they're in the same ballpark. Nobody's in the same ballpark as football. But these two, basketball, 11%, baseball, 9%. But if you ever listen to the discussion, if you ever, even on WBT where you work, if you listen to that, you cannot hear much at all, even during the World Series. And the answer is this: their fan base is not supported in with baseball. In other words, baseball fans, are on average age way over the age of 50, whereas football and basketball are in the 20s and the 30s, and that's who listens to sports radio.
You're onto something here, no doubt. But I will also say, because the city of Charlotte, North Carolina, does not have a Major League Baseball team, we don't talk much baseball. Talk Atlanta Braves, they won the series, fine. But both markets are trying to sell tickets to the Hornets, and both markets are trying to sell tickets to the Panthers. I listen to Pittsburgh sports talk radio. They talk the Steelers and the Penguins and the Pirates. Yeah. And never, ever talk NBA, because the NBA doesn't exist there. So local sports talk is to the locality.
Sure.
I thought what you were going to refer to is ESPN. Because ESPN, I mean, yeah, during baseball season, but there's a lot going on in baseball, but it's the NBA, it's who they put. Finally, they're starting to show some hockey on it.
Yeah.
So it depends on the medium that you're listening to. But yeah, you're right, there's a lot more NBA national talk than there is baseball national talk. And unfortunately, because I think the younger kids play more basketball than do baseball. And that's why baseball needs to learn how to attract the younger fans.
Yeah,
they're working on it.
Yeah, I think they are. I think it might be a real big – I think it's an uphill battle. I think that hill can be climbed. But tell the truth, my guess is the smartest people in the business, even if you're not baseball fans. But sports fans are probably trying to figure out – sports executives are probably going, how do we – this is a huge thing. The L.A. Dodgers and other teams bring in over 3 million fans a year for their 82 home games.
But you're in the NFL front office, and guess what? You're going to try to make the NFL 24-7, 12 months, and they're doing it with a draft, with preseason, with trade deadlines. I mean, my gosh, the NFL is almost around the clock now.
Yeah, you know what? It's so interesting.
Around the calendar.
But here's the most interesting thing, and I think this is partly the reason, because it's so played out. It's virtually every day for 6 months. And I think because of it, it's just like background noise. You know, like right near our house, 485 goes by the Beltway. But because the stream of cars is so consistent, we don't really even hear it. But it's there. But because this noise is there, and I think that's what baseball is. It's just like, yep, they have another 15 games tonight, another 14 games tonight, another 15 games. And they just go over. And I think people just get numb to it all. Is there some truth in that, maybe?
Yeah, but the diehard baseball fans like you and I, we could watch every day.
No, of course. But that was pretty good.
We were raised.
That was a pretty good analogy to the 485 traffic.
Oh, yeah. Where are you going with that?
All right, listen, folks, we're going to do that outgoing music. You get to hear that great Benny Goodman music here in a second. But first, as always, let's finish with a quote from our Pope, or a Pope. This one comes from the great Saint John Paul II, who said, "Give thanks to God for the gift of sport, in which the human person exercises his body, intellect, and will, recognizing these abilities as so many gifts of his Creator." Again, that comes from Pope John Paul II. Before we go, special thanks to you, Ed Billick, brother.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Thank you.
You got it, brother.
Happy Thanksgiving to all of our listeners as well.
Very good. And to you, too. And for our producer today, Bran Hart, thank you guys for making this a good show today. I'm Dr. John Aquaviva. Please join us next time here on Carolina Catholic Radio for more faith and sport.